Hey everybody, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The following episode was recorded last week at the Red Palace, which is a rock and roll club in Washington, D.C. It was recorded after the Scott Lucas and the Married Men show. Because it was recorded after a show around 1 or 2 a.m., there had been a lot of drinks, so I'm not sure if you're going to like this episode at all. I'm a fan, a big, big fan of Local H and Scott Lucas's music, so I listened back to the episode, and if you're not a fan, I don't know if this one's for you. If you are a fan, you will probably like it. If you know me personally, you will laugh, because it's a fun episode. I had way too much fun during the episode. I was not a very good reporter, but I was a very big fan, so that should give you an idea of the type of interview that this thing was. Scott Lucas and the Married Men are currently on tour. They will be on tour for the next week or two. You should go see them. They are very good. Local H has a new record coming out in September. That one's going to be called Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. We talk about that for a little bit. I don't even know if we asked questions. We sort of just yelled at the man about songs that we know. So it was fun. If you like the idea of me yelling at Scott Lucas about songs that he wrote that I enjoy, this one's for you. We have some very fun events going on. This Friday in Washington, D.C., I will be one of the hosts at the Brightest Young Things local tours party at National Geographic. You, Me, Them, Everybody, D.C. co-host Jen Tisdale will be co-hosting with me. Get it to co-host. It'll be a lot of fun. The next night, June 23rd, we'll be in Baltimore for our first Baltimore show at the Windup Space, so please come to that. Both shows are listed on youmethemeverybody.com. I hope to see you there back in Chicago in July. So without further ado, here is me, Brandon Weatherby, pretty much just annoying the shit out of Scott Lucas from Local H and Scott Lucas and the Married Men for about 30 minutes after his show at the Red Palace in Washington, D.C. I hope you enjoy it.
I probably wasn't yelling. I was talking.
No. Everyone was yelling.
Angry at me.
Well, she said that Bruce Springsteen is like, she pretty much said like he's a hack. And you didn't like that.
The hack's a little too honest. Strong of, no, it's too strong of a word for Bruce Springsteen. I mean, how anybody, who makes a record like Nebraska can't completely be written off as a hack, can he? I don't think so.
I agree with the Nebraska debate, but I don't agree with the rest of it.
What about Badlands?
I'm fine.
It's a fucking great song.
No, Bruce Springsteen's written a lot of great songs, but it's not so much the songs, it's more the persona that's the problem with Bruce Springsteen.
I don't know if the persona is a problem. I think the persona is, like, what's great about Bruce Springsteen, I don't know if this is great, but there's something about him that appeals to everyone. And, is when I started to realize it, when, like, all these, like, little indie bands were into it. I was like, really? You guys are into Bruce Springsteen? And it just, it suddenly occurred to me, it's like, this guy has, like, transcended all these genres and age groups.
He didn't transcend anything. Are you serious? What did he transcend?
Why would he suddenly become a beacon of light to, like, all these bands from, like, 5 years ago? Like, from everybody from Arcade Fire to Bright Eyes
to
that awful band.
That's the era. Well, you just said awful band. That's the era of MTV that they grew up with. So that's what they saw. And when you put Bruce Springsteen against
anybody, they didn't grow up with that era. I grew up with that era of MTV. They didn't.
No, but their older brothers did. And what you listen to is what your older brother listens to.
They were three.
They weren't three.
They weren't even paying attention to what was going on.
See,
I was barely paying attention to what was going on.
I disagree. I think it's all MTV, man.
No.
Wait, can I detract for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
My question for you is, Summer of Boats is...
Someone's got Summer of Boats on the brain.
She's been saying this all fucking night,
because,
man.
Because, like, no, that whole album.
12 Angry Months.
12 Angry Months is...
It's your second concept record.
It's
your second Local Age concept record.
Well, that's not even true.
Well, the whole thing.
Wait, hold on. Pack Up the Cats concept record, yes?
Totally. But that would be our second concept record.
What's your first concept record?
As Good as Dead.
How is that a concept record?
All the songs are about living in a small town. That's, you're going nowhere. They're all about, like, dead end towns. And.
Because it also bookends the album, too. You have...
Well, you've got that also, but it's all about Zion. And that's another thing, like...
Zion, really?
Yes.
That's the back cover of the record. It's
from Liberty.
Joe in front of the water tower.
The water tower.
Yeah.
And it's also just this sort of... In some ways, bringing it all back home, mama, some ways it's kind of like updating Bruce Springsteen.
Now you're selling yourself short.
No, I don't think so. Think about it. Like, you know, like just that sort of small town type of, you know, being stuck and feeling like you want
to
get out. I can really relate to that.
The only reason I returned to that specific song is because
Summer of Boats.
Okay, so the reason being is that it is a completely different sentiment than the songs that precede it.
For example, when the album came out, you, Kelsey, were really offended by, is it Holy Christ? It looks like a...
No.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Look at the size of that sperm whale.
You thought that was a lot like, oh, the girl got fat, and you're making fun of her.
Oh, no.
And I had to defend this song to you for many times.
Right, so we've had a lot of conversations about this album.
No, basically what that was that was a riff on Jesus Christ, You're Tall by Harry Nilsson.
Okay.
So
has anyone drawn that conclusion?
I think I might have had to, like, draw it for them a couple times.
Okay.
But basically, I always loved that title, and I thought... What was crazy? That was the first time when he said that you were offended by it. It was the first time I ever thought somebody might think it's about
a fat girl.
Yeah. Somebody getting fat.
My feeling about that.
That's
album.
Actually interesting, and
I
mind that. I don't mind that. I think that's okay. If people think, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, because like you have such anger towards your ex, and it's like, yeah, she got fat. You know,
it's a ridiculously
it goes back
emotional
the other
album.
Way too.
It's a really emotional album.
So you're saying that with Summer of Boats, it's the one point on the record where it says, okay, you know what? You should be allowed to break up with me.
Yeah,
well, there's
also,
a line you're allowed to
that,
change,
of course.
And that's the transcendent
and
part of that album.
And it also is this moment where, on that album, there's a lot of anger, but it's this moment of softness on that album.
Yeah. Well, somebody was like... offended by
the
somebody was you do really
yeah.
Well, we think we know her. We'll talk when we're not recording.
Someone was offended by the record, and they were like, "It's too much." You know, it's just anger, and it's like it's called 12
Angry
Months.
It's in the title.
Right.
What more did I have to
but
tell
it is
you?
It's such a cathartic album. It's such a whole album.
Probably no more cathartic than you know. Any cursive record, though.
Well, I will say that it's...
No,
it
it's different
a,
than
it
a cursive
is,
record.
It's a whole picture. It's a 360 album. It is very
complete. I think what a thing that you kind of get pigeonholed with is I think you wear a lot of your emotions on your sleeve. And I think a lot of the people you compare yourself to and the people you like don't do that, but the people you get pigeonholed with don't have any actual emotion. It's all put upon emotion. Does this make sense at all? Or no?
I think so.
And I think you get pigeonholed with all these awful bands, no offense, because of that, because you're so willing to show, like, these are my cards, fuck
right.
it, I
and
don't care
it's
anymore.
It's so very different than a song like Hands on the Bible, which is its own thing, but it's so very different from the way that...
You mentioned cursive, that's what I mean.
Right.
It's cursive is not laying all their cards on the table.
Well, when I see them...
I love cursive, it's not about...
Listen, when I see them play, I feel like they are laying their hands on the table. I mean, their cards on the table, hands on the table. Hands on the table. No, I feel like... There's definitely, like, in fact, you know, like, sometimes you could, like, level against them the whole, we know too much,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But that could be the thing about, like, any kind of music that kind of derives from emo or whatever. It's like,
but
there's too much of it.
You obviously do not derive from emo
I
at
don't.
All.
No, not
I derive from this sort of smart aleck type of
I always
school of song
thought you were from the AC/DC Led Zeppelin school of rock and roll, which is a great school, until
what?
I saw this band, and then I think it's more of a Neil Young school. I think what you're doing right now with Scott Lucas and the Merrymen has way more in common than with Crazy Horse than Local H does with AC/DC.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a poster in our practice space, and you know, it says, what would Neil Young do?
Did you get that at Kohl's? Has that, too. Isn't that Kohl's? I'm sorry, I sound drunk right now. What's the place in the loop, Kelsey? Cal's. Cal's has that. When you play, when you're in a band at Cal's, there's a what would Neil Young do flag.
400 square
I haven't
feet
seen
of
it.
Torture.
Yeah, it's just brilliant.
A friend of mine bought it, a poster for me, and we put it up in our practice space, and then the guy who does our t-shirts just printed up some t-shirts for me.
This is what would Neil Young do?
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. Are you going to see his tour? He's touring with Patti Smith.
Of course. I went to go see him last year, and it was the first time I ever got to see him.
Yeah?
It was crazy.
Crazy Horse or just Neil Young solo?
Just Neil Young solo. And it was at Chicago Theater.
Sure.
And it was like...
Put on my tab.
He came out and, you know, picks up his acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. and the first thing he plays is Hey Hey My My.
Really?
Incredible, and it blew me away. And then the second song he played was Helpless. And I broke into tears.
That's awesome.
I just started bawling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a friend of mine that I was with is the bass player of Indian, and he's just like, you know, just macho motherfucker.
Indian, for those who don't know, is a metal band.
Yes.
Out of Chicago. Brilliant.
It was his birthday, and he really wanted to go see Neil Young. Yeah. So I got us into Neil Young to go. And he just, like, looked at me. He's like, he didn't say anything. He didn't. Usually he just, like, gives me shit all the time and punches me. He just, like, said, dude, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's perfect. The current incarnation, why you're on tour, it's a 7-piece band. You're used to playing with a 2-piece band, yet they're all your songs. I mean, you're the first 2 words in the band name.
Right.
Why are you doing this? Why aren't these just Local H songs? Why not break up Local H and just be Scott Lucas? Why have the 2 different bands?
Well, it all started with the first record. And the point was, on that first record, it was a bunch of songs, like, if it had just been 1 or 2 songs, mm-hmm. and like you mentioned Zeppelin, and the reason that like Local H has more in common with Zeppelin than AC/DC is because I never wanted us to only have, you know, 1 speed.
Of course. You know? You want to be able to do the In Through the Outdoor, even though you probably shouldn't. You could still do it.
There's one song
on that album. What's the song? Stand in the Corner, Wait in the Rain. I'm a Fool in the Rain.
I'm a Fool in the Rain.
I love that song. Yeah. It's a cheesy as fuck song. It does not sound like Zeppelin, but that's not In Through the Outdoor.
It's great.
It's a great song.
It's great.
I'm just saying,
there's only one song on there that you could quibble with.
All right.
And it would be Carousel La Ramba. Whoa, all right, cool. Just getting interesting. But
anyway, it's sad that in D.C. a beer is interesting.
Yes, well, it's great. But my point is, I wanted to be able to, you know, do songs... like No Problem. I wanted to be able to do songs like Summer of Boats, you know.
But you, yeah, but that's
as
the
well
thing.
As songs like High Five Motherfucker.
You've had those songs for years.
That's what I'm
They've
saying.
They've been on every record.
So here's my point.
Okay.
So like with this record, all of a sudden I had 8 songs that were like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
and you just wanted to do like
of
3 of the 12. You wanted to do
yeah,
all
out
12.
Of nowhere there were 8 songs like that, and I was like, you know what? This if. I was ever going to do this and make a solo record, now would be the time. So that's just what happened. I just had these songs, and I was like, if I put too many of these songs on a Local H record, it's going to feel lopsided.
Okay.
I could have done it. It could have been like Zeppelin 3, and I would have been happy with that. But then I was just like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to force that. I'm just going to do what I want here. And so I got my friends to play with me, and then we started playing some shows. And the more we played... the more we started to, like, loosen up and get louder and louder. And then so next thing you know, we've got this new record and these songs. And, you know, we just enjoyed playing with them so much. And
well, these songs are a lot louder than the first record. I mean, I saw the first tour when you guys played Metro on St. Patrick's Day with the Tossers, who were, like, half of your band.
Right.
It was kind of reserved. It wasn't a bad show. You were just... you were doing these songs at this time, and now you're a hell of a lot louder, and you seem to be very comfortable with being louder.
Well, the thing what we were trying to do was we had all these rules. It was like, let's be quiet, and let's play less notes, and let's do all this stuff. And then we started to realize, like, we're playing these songs out, and people were kind of, like, fidgeting, and it's like, I got mad at first, and then I started to realize, you know, people are just coming out. They want to have a good time.
Yeah.
They don't want to go through, like, my breakup shit. Who gives a fuck? And so then I started, like, songs started to get louder. And then, like, we recorded a couple of songs, and they got loud. And then...
and that's the Absolute Beginners EP.
Yes.
Okay.
And so then that's when we started, like, take off the... we started take off the limiters or whatever. And then with this record, the first song we wrote was the first song... Lover of the Lullaby, and it was the first song we had written in a minor key, and then it had a heavy metal middle section, and then it was like, alright, we're on to somewhere else.
Okay.
And then the next song was Steady Gaze.
Yeah.
And it just became this thing, it's like, let's just go this way, and let's not worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the first record, I was kind of trying to, like, follow my, like, Cowboy Junkies dreams.
Okay.
And then I realized... I'm not the Cowboy Junkies, you know. I never will be, no matter how much I try.
I remember seeing you do a show with Blake from...
Fig Dish.
figured.
Caviar.
And
Prairie Cartel.
Yeah,
was that the show?
It was a Prairie Cartel.
Was that the Darkroom show, Kelsey?
Yeah, at Darkroom. And it felt like kind of a transition between Local H and now.
Really?
Yeah, in some level because it was a less emotional show.
Yes.
Sort of dancey in a way.
Yeah. And
it was totally dancey.
I kind of wonder if, is there some separation between the emotional, like the emotional of Local H? That last album was a really emotional album.
Well, I think the first Married Men record is just as emotional.
But you're not screaming. That's the
difference. Yeah, exactly. But like all the songs.
Is the Married Men a process of moving out of that emotional music?
No, I don't think so. I think these songs are every bit as personal as anything I've ever done.
Okay.
Have you ever not been personal though?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You've always.
But
been personal.
I think there's nothing personal on Prairie Cartel record. There's
yeah, I would agree.
Not a single personal thing on it. To me, though, when we started doing Prairie Cartel, I kind of wanted it to be like Nitzareb.
Yeah.
So I wanted all the songs to be like really heavy and screamy, mm-hmm. and I was really into dance music. Like, but the dance music.
This is when you
were
DJing a lot more. You had the residency
right.
at that place in Wicker Park.
Is it
Smart Bar?
Not Smart Bar.
Take more out of you to do an
Rodan?
Emotional
Rodan?
Album
Sorry.
Live than it does to do like a Prairie Cartel album. Do you connect with that emotion that you originally wrote the song?
Sometimes you'll sing a lyric and it totally reminds you of where you were.
Yeah.
And when you write those lyrics about like suitcase pimps and stuff like that for like Married Men, I mean not Married Men, for Prairie Cartel, mm-hmm. see, even I can't keep it together, or drugs about Prairie Cartel, there's no real, it's all hedonism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no emotional involvement there. It's just all about having a good time.
Does it make a difference moving from different parts of the city in Chicago? Does it mean anything to leave Lakeview and to go to another part of the city?
You're in Wicker Park now.
I am in Wicker Park, and it doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean, I think the only time my music has been affected is when I left Zion for Chicago.
Sure. But that was, what, after the first record?
That was after As Good As Dead, the second
You were
record.
Still in Zion during As Good As Dead?
Right, yeah. Cause,
really?
Because, you know, like, the first record came out, and it kind of, like, didn't do anything. And I was like, man, I still don't have
How
the
old
money.
Were you? When
24? 25?
Yeah, there's no shame in that, either.
Plus, I was working my ass. We're touring all the time. I was like, why should I get it, like,
oh, yeah,
a place
why would you
in
move?
Chicago? I've never
well,
been because
when
there,
you were in
you
Zion,
know?
I was in Libertyville, and I felt like there was this thing about...
There was, exactly.
You know, there was this thing about being connected with somebody who understood.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave that yet, you know?
Yeah, I understand
hey,
that completely.
I recorded the set for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I gotta say, I quite enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Didn't really know. I didn't really pay much attention to Local H the first time around, so
That's
I
right.
didn't really know what to expect. And I gotta say, I really liked a lot of the songs.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry that we were so late today,
well,
man.
Whatever,
it was.
You know, I mean, all those years at the Fireside paid off.
Fireside in my heart.
I had like five sound checks in the 3 or 4 years that I worked there.
Yeah.
You know, like beforehand, everything was just running down. So.
Yeah.
You know, taught me well.
Excellent.
No problem.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, was the stuff you were playing mostly off the, like, the newer album?
Yeah. Almost everything was off the new record.
All right, cool. Good to know.
For those listening, that was the sound guy complimenting the band. No, it's very rare. I was talking to the sound guy after the show.
Yeah, no, Chicago.
I mean, I've played hundreds of shows. You've played thousands of shows. If the sound guy likes you, that says something.
Do you remember when we saw them at...
yeah, but you know, sometimes the sound guy plays King's X while he's setting up.
Right? So what?
We saw you
so
guys
that doesn't mean
Naperville Ribfest.
I'm
oh,
sure
that
those
was a great show.
It was really fun. Was
I'm sure those show. Paid were very well, too.
The what?
The Naperville Ribfest and shit like
paid?
That.
We saw
yeah.
you guys at Naperville Ribfest, and then we went to go see the
I'm not ashamed of playing the Naperville Ribfest.
No.
It was fun.
I remember talking to you about this exact topic about 8 years ago, maybe. You were playing at some shit bar in Indiana, and it was a Local H show, so there's a bunch of regular bands opening up, and you guys played a real set. You didn't half-ass it. And I asked you after the set, like, do you want to be doing this? And you go, absolutely. This is the point of playing in a rock and roll band. And that's always meant a lot to me.
Are there any Local H songs you never want to play again?
No, because if I don't want to play them, I stop playing them. And then, and
what about the hat stuff? What about the...
Pick them up, like, you know, maybe, like, a year later, and they feel fun again. Like, we didn't want to play Bound for the Floor for a while, so we didn't play it.
I can imagine.
We didn't play it, and then once we started playing it again, I was like, man, I really like playing this song. So it was a cool thing to do.
What's your ideal setup for your life right now? I mean, you have two bands. I think both, in terms of, like,
I just started a third band.
Sorry, third band?
Merch.
You and the sound guy and the merch guy.
Yes, exactly.
But you have this, like, quieter Americana side, and you have the loud rock and roll side. What do you want to be doing? Like, what's the ideal world? Money's not an issue. What are you doing?
I mean,
or is this the ideal?
This is it. I mean, you know, to me, it's like it. I mean, do you sit home and listen to one type of music?
No, absolutely not.
So, you know, I really don't see the point in only playing one type of music.
Absolutely. Do you feel like you're getting a raw deal because people know you in one way and not the other?
Maybe. But, you know, like, we just did this tour with Deer Tick. And
yeah.
And what was great about it was, like, a lot of those people didn't know us. And
that's I'm assuming for you, that's a good thing.
It was a good thing. A lot of people didn't know us, and they were fucking into it.
Yeah.
And it made me feel really good. And, like, in some ways, I feel like the people that aren't Local H fans like what I'm doing better than...
Oh, yeah.
Who are Local H fans.
I mean, like, I will come home from work on any given day, and he'll be listening to As Good As That.
No, I won't. I never listen to that record.
That's
no
good.
Offense.
You don't want to listen,
I don't listen to that record.
Well, no, yes, you do.
No, I never listen to As Good As That. I listen to Pack Up the Cats and 12
do.
Angry Moms.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are the
Pack
two
the
records
cats
I put on the most.
Thing,
then there's random singles. Sorry, no offense. But come on, those are your two
but
best records.
But I can come home from work and he'll be listening to Local H. And we are 2 years out of Chicago, and it doesn't matter. He still wants to hear that.
Well, it's not about a location thing, though.
I know, I'm just saying.
Today I compared you in the Albany Post to Josh Homme and Jeff Tweedy. Here's why. First song you played tonight really reminded me of Summer Teeth in that era in terms of music and lyrics. Second song really reminded me of Queens of the Stone Age, specifically Lullabies to Paralyze. They're both personal,
well,
but they're not personal.
The first song we played was a Lead Belly song.
Was it really?
Yeah.
And that's who they stole
you
from.
To be
yeah.
But that's where I get that from. Musically, what you're doing is just as adventurous as I think Wilco's ever done, but you have this shitty tag on you where I don't think a lot of people give you the credit.
That's the thing.
Well,
it's like, do you feel weird about the fact that you... like? How
I don't
do you
feel weird.
About
I just
way?
Feel I just feel like... like, all right, here's what happened. Like, you know, the second record we had... you know, Bound for the Floor on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we had this stuff going on. But, you know, if you couldn't hear that we were trying for something else, you weren't listening. And so the record after that was Pack Up the Cats. And so what did we decide to do? We decided to make a concept record about cats. Not the smartest thing to do for your career, right? but that was where we wanted to go. We wanted to prove to people that we weren't like the other bands that we were getting played on the radio.
Not only the bands you were playing on the radio with, the bands you were touring with. The bands you were opening up for, the bands you were pigeonholed with in festivals.
Well, the bands that like we were playing with then, like,
I'm sure they were very
really
people.
Liked,
I remember seeing
like
you guys
Stone Devil Pilots.
Yeah, they really held up. Come on, man! Like, why are you being
well,
nice
I
right
saw
now?
You guys
I mean,
opened up at Rockfest.
You headlined Rockfest, and almost every other band on that bill was awful.
I'm sure they were
exactly.
But
that's what
Cheap
I mean.
Cheap Trick was on that bill.
Cheap Trick's a million, you know.
So
we'll never
they're
talk
amazing.
Ill will of Cheap
they're
Trick,
amazing.
But.
But why would we want to play
I'm
on a bill
sure
with Cheap Trick?
I completely agree.
Plus, we toured with Failure.
Failure's good.
You know, Failure was the band that...
But you also toured with the Silverchair.
I
and I'm sure
Silverchair.
They're very nice people.
I love Silverchair to
and
my
you
dad.
Were a 13-year-old girl at one point. But
Freak,
I love them to my dad.
Freak is... Listen to the lyrics of Freak.
It's
no
a
more maybes,
album.
Baby's got rabies, sitting on a ball in the middle of the Andes. If that isn't, if that, no, I only do
awesome.
Low fives. If that isn't Ramones worthy, I don't know what
no,
is.
No, that's not Ramones worthy, that's shitty In Utero
the
ripoff
okay,
worthy. Come on.
The album they came
that's
out
all
with
that is second shred In Utero.
I don't think so.
The album
rape me, abuse
with...
me, really, sir? Come on.
No,
now you're just
the album
being
that
nice.
Came out after that was
I like
truly
abuse
amazing.
Me.
That's because you know them personally and you have really good emotions.
Before I ever went out with them,
you're such a liar. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself.
I made Catherine Frazier at the Metro give me her promo single of that because I thought it was so good.
This is really great stuff.
You made a lot of mistakes.
I was saying thanks for coming by. I'm rolling out.
Thank you. Thanks for offering to.
Thank you for coming by.
Thanks a lot.
No, but I 100% was like.
So you think that the reason no one takes me seriously is because I threw a silver chair?
No, I think a lot of
No,
I don't think it's taking you seriously. I don't think they put it on because I don't think they realize what you've done in the last 15 years.
Well, here's what I think it is.
Because
I'm about to drop it.
In Chicago, they love you.
I'm about to drop it on you. Here's what happens. If you're not, and this is the thing, and it bears out when it comes to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not from New York, if you're not from LA, fuck you. And, like, the fact that, like, the Red Hot Chili Peppers can get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and there's no rush, there's no cheap trick,
I know.
It's disgusting to me. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's wrong, and it's stupid. So it's regionalism is what it is.
And
that's the problem. It's not, and listen, I'm not better than the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm not trying to say anything like that.
No, I'm saying you're better than the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't deserve any of that. But what I'm saying is that there's a reason why everyone thinks that this is it and this is it. And, you know, sometimes it breaks through. And to me, the music that I love the most are from places like Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Husker Du, you look at like fucking The Replacements, and you look at Seattle, and you look at Soundgarden, and you look at Nirvana.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Now that, or you look at Athens, Georgia, you look at REM and B-52s. Now that's where real interesting stuff happens. I have no interest in what comes out of LA, and I have very little interest out of what comes out of New York.
Because it means a big thing when somebody has the fight.
Thank you. Because the point is, they treat the rest of the country like it's flyover country.
Yeah.
But there's something else going on in this country that has little to do with I want to be famous and I want to get fucked, all right? And if you want to listen to music about getting famous and getting fucked, listen to Motley Crue. If you want to listen,
there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to listen to something else, I'd listen to Replacements. And that's that.
And I agree with you to a point. I agree with you to a point, but no matter, I mean, for example, you opened up for Tommy Stinson one of your first solo shows at the Double Door.
It was a fucking blast.
You made fun of Tommy Stinson on stage between songs.
No, I didn't.
Okay,
you said he's your favorite member of Guns N' Roses, and then everyone booed you and you laughed at them. That's what happened.
Because it was funny.
But it's...
Because it wasn't funny, it's actually true.
It is
my favorite member.
He's
of
one
Guns
of the longest running members of Guns N' Roses. He's been almost as long as a Guns N' Roses member as he is as a Replacements.
First of all, I don't remember saying that. And
you did
all,
say that, and you laughed at him.
It's true. Listen, I didn't laugh at him.
Laughed at the idea of what was going on.
I laughed at people booing me, is what I did.
Okay, fine.
All right, Tommy was at our first show, at Local H's first show in L.A.
Really?
He was at the first show. He came up to me, and I was just a stupid idiot kid, and I'm selling, like, ham-fisted out of, you know, a bag.
Of course.
And there I am, and I'm wearing, like, huge shorts, and this guy comes up to me, and I'm flustered, and I look up, and he's like, how much is the CD? I go, $10. And he goes, I'll take one. I looked at him, and I'm like, I know who this guy is. So I give him the CD. I take his $10. He goes, thanks, man. Walks away. And one of the sound guy, one of the bands we're on tour with, was Limb Lifter, whose drummer is now in A.C. Newman's band.
Oh, cool. New Pornographers.
New Pornographers, right. So he comes up to me and goes, you know who that was, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I think I do. He goes, that was Tommy Stinson. You just charged Tommy Stinson for your CD.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah.
And so, like, every time Tommy comes to Chicago, he, you know, he looks me up and he asks for me. And
That's so nice.
And, like, when the first acoustic show I ever played was Opio for him, and he let me do it.
So that I was.
And I absolutely love Tommy. And when I made that joke, it was just because I knew he'd get a kick out of it.
All right.
I wasn't trying to take the piss out of Tommy Stinson.
But you totally did.
But I wasn't.
To his crowd.
Well, his crowd.
You made fun of his crowd as well.
I didn't.
You called them a bunch of yuppies.
I did not.
You totally did.
And now you've gone too far.
Bullshit. I'm just repeating stuff that I heard 8 years ago, maybe.
See? There you go.
Things happen.
There you go. Maybe.
Why not play organ? I saw you play Peck of the Cat show at the Bee Kitchen when you did your Seven Nights, Seven Records shows. And you played organ for a handful of songs, and it was really cool to see you do that. Why not go on the road and do that?
Because I'm not good at it at all. Yeah.
I didn't even know you could play.
I can't.
But you played like two songs on organ. It was really good.
You could play organ like that.
Fair enough. I don't know what you're doing. You're doing a peace sign and air quotes.
What's the dinosaur? It's
pterodactyl?
No, Tyrannosaurus Rex organ is what I play.
All right, fair enough. What do the women in your life say about your music?
They pretend to like it. Next question.
Fair enough. How does your voice feel after every show? You don't smoke.
I don't. You know, as long as I don't have to get up early, I'm fine. And the last 3 or 4 days, we had to get up really early. We've got this insane driving schedule. Because we want to hit all these places before 4th of July. So, as long as I don't have to wake up at 8 o'clock, I'm cool. If I can wake up at noon, my voice will be all right.
What do you got tomorrow?
We're supposed to be in New York, and the thing is, we're supposed to load in to the club at 2. Our show's at 11. I'm like,
what?
Fuck that. It's not going to happen. We're just going to sleep until 12.
Hold on. You want me to tell them about you have planned our wedding?
Yeah.
All right.
So.
No, I heard all about it.
I did in the show. Last time you played
so
the show.
So we actually had to push our wedding back a year.
Yeah.
Tom!
Yeah?
I got something for you. Can you take that to the men?
Of course.
Thanks.
Anything else?
No, that'll be it, buddy.
And then is that any of our things?
That's all mine. I can grab that.
I'll take this.
All right. Yes. So I heard the whole
Iggy
Pop
story.
You
want me to settle?
What?
You want me to settle?
Please.
We'll get out of here.
No, go ahead. Take your time.
No, it's fine.
Do you know Iggy Pop?
I don't know Iggy Pop. I met his son.
That's cool.
He was very cool.
You had a year. Good luck.
No,
good luck.
Next time you come into town, when my fiance screams at you, will you play the song she requests? You don't have to. I wouldn't do it.
Summer of Boats?
Summer of Boats.
We're working on it. PJ Souls is good.
You
have
a good
solo.
Great song. I love that song.
Are you happy in Local H right now?
I am, yeah.
That's cool.
Why? You don't think I am, do you?
No, because I remember when Joe left and there was a lot of talk of you not doing the band anymore. And that was a long time ago.
Not really. There was really no talk about that. To me, I was more defiant than ever. Okay. And like when Brian joined, we wrote 25 songs for a 10-song record.
That's so great.
And I never had an output like that before. So it was kind of like, to me, I had a fire up my ass, you know?
So great.
It was fun. So now, this year, I'm going to put out
this record.
And then in a few months, I'll put out a Local H record that has 17 songs on it.
What's the name of the record?
It's going to be called Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
I thought that was going to be this record.
No, this is the Married Men record.
No, hold on.
Well, we played that Local H song called Look Who's Walking on Four Legs Again.
Turn off the recorder and let's talk about that.
James Fritz like?
Yeah.
Well, you remember James Fritz's name?
Yeah, man.
It's the only reason why I know I've made it is when people know James Fritz's name.
I follow him on Twitter.
Do you really?
Yeah, I ran into him at Delilah's.
Motherfucker, you don't follow me on Twitter. By the way, you got us fired from Continental once.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you were a Continental. We were DJing, and you're like, play whatever you want. So we kept playing hip-hop, and they're like, don't play hip-hop, specifically the song Riding Dirty, because you thought it was funny. So we kept playing it, and you got us fired.
That wasn't me.
That was you!
First of all,
I didn't
tell you to play whatever you want because I wanted to get you fired.
No,
you
didn't.
I liked it.
I'm sure you liked it. We liked it, too.
You came out with, fucking
Mike? Herb? Who?
Herb.
Oh, Herb,
You came to our set with Herb. And
I wasn't trying to get anyone fighting.
That was when Herb brought his cop brother-in-law.
You like to make stuff.
No, I brought Herb brought his cop brother-in-law to the club, and he came behind the DJ booth and did stuff because he couldn't see his
cop
brother-in-law. I alluded to it, and you said it. That's a different thing.
I was
going to
say it as well. So it's
Jesus Christ.
Herb was like, I need a rest.
Wait, why is this the stuff that we can't talk about? This is okay on mic, but the other stuff, no, be quiet about that
no,
stuff.
No, but that was
yeah,
what
be
happened.
Quiet about the ex-girlfriend,
what?
Right?
No, but okay, so...
Because that's personal.
The fact that you follow James Fritz makes me very, very happy. You have no idea. Have you followed Daniel Knox yet? Musician friend of mine.
You know, I think what happened was he managed to just...
Charm you? He's a charming man.
He did.
He's a charming man.
You're charming.
Ugh,
we have to go home.
No,
we have
to live here now.
I'll
ask you all the rest of the questions.
All right, let's turn off
the mic.
Yeah, let's turn off
the... Really quick, the Local H record comes out in... Do you know when it comes out?
September. I wanted to come out before the election.
Never remember. Always forever. Scott Lukes and the Merry Men are touring right now.
That's right.
The new record is Blood Half Moon.
Not Hallelujah.
Which is a very disappointing thing to me. We'll talk
well,
about
you'll that. Get it later.
Yeah, we'll talk off mic. And,
oh, you think we're more about old-timey.
No, it's not about old-timey. It's about you're a giant film buff. I'm a giant film buff. A lot of my friends are giant filmmakers. It's an underused title. It's good. I thought it was going to be this one.
Why can't Local H have it?
Because it fits with the art of this one. The absolute beginner's art, not this one, whatever, but this one totally fits with Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. The absolute beginner's EP with you and the lady and the kissing, it makes more sense.
It's not me.
That's not you and the...
It's not me.
Who is that?
Somebody.
That's interesting. I think it's great. If you're fans of Jeff Tweedy, buy it. If you're fans of Jess Homme, buy it. If you're fans of Local H, obviously you'll be disappointed.
If you're fans of Neil Young.
I think Neil Young is the most appropriate. Neil Young and Crazy Horse. Not just Neil Young solo.
No, definitely. Waterboys. You ever heard of the Waterboys?
The film Waterboy by Adam Sandler. You're going to be a good. What?
If you're fans of. What's that band that goes. Do, 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 do.
Do, 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 do. If you're fans of Arcade Fire, if you have Grammys in your house, you'll like it.
Whoa!
Yeah, that just means they're rich. If you're rich, you'll like it. If you're poor, you might like it.
Nick Carve? Nick Cave.
Let's go home.
Nick Cave. Man, Nick Cave. What a good guy, huh?
He's the best.
And we all agree on Nick Cave is the best. Thanks for doing
He's
this,
the best.
Now we get to yell at you.
He's got
mic.
The no pussy blues.
No.